Okay, well, good morning, Jesus followers.
Locate your device. I guess we'll do it this way.
It's a beautiful day in the Lord. Somebody will let us know if the camera is sideways, I'm sure. Well, it is a beautiful day in the Lord. And, of course, we did not have a fireplace installed at the Oasis Church over the weekend. I'm actually sitting at home in front of our fireplace because of the blizzard that's going on, what's been coined the blizzard of 2021. Hopefully it'll be the only big one we get. But it is pretty blustery outside right now, so I'm glad that you're able to tune in online. And we're going to have most of a regular service. I think thank you for Emily for sending out some of the songs this morning that we were going to sing in church. And there is a YouTube link for that, as well as just a reminder of, you know, keeping up on what's going on with the Oasis. You can check in at the on our Facebook page at any time and usually see some of the things, the events, and things that are going on. And of course, these kind of services are online, not just now because we're at home, but they're on every Sunday. We're live on Facebook as well as on Wednesday nights. As we get going this morning, just wanted to welcome you if you're new to the Oasis and just tuning in. It's good to have you with us this morning. And I know there's lots of the regulars that have tuned in. We've been texting back and forth all morning saying, hey, I'll be there. I'll tune in online. And grateful that you guys are here as well. It's always different when we do it from home, but it's, you know, God can still move. I believe that the same message will still really applies to today as well as whether I was standing at the pulpit or sitting here in front of the fireplace. So we're grateful for that. But as we do, usually after worship, we have some announcements and kind of some of the things going on. And those things are still happening this week. We're going to have a message this morning. You might call it What the Holy Spirit Does, Part 3. But the real meat of it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's probably what Margie named it on the Facebook page. So we're going to have that message in a few minutes. We're going to do youth group this week, again, at 5:30. They gather every week. And Melissa, our youth leader, has taken them through different experiences and been able to help them understand the Bible and to grow in their faith and to be able to have some fun and just to be able to fellowship with one another, and those things continue to go on. So that'll take place Wednesday at 5:30. Following that at 7 is our weekly Bible study. We have been going through the book of Revelation week after week for several weeks now. We're still, I think we're up to like week 16, 17, somewhere in there. We took a break from that this last week and just had a message about things to rejoice in the Lord in, just to kind of refresh our memory on the good things that God has already done and what he's up to in our life. But tune in for that if you can for the small group and the Bible study on Wednesday night. We always pray for one another. We take prayer requests and pray over them and pray for people that aren't there or people that are. Anything that's brought up, it's just a good time of fellowship, probably even as much or more even than Sundays. A good time for that. But also getting through that book of Revelation, it couldn't be more timely. I think when God chose and pointed us to go through that book, now is the time to really be going through it and to really facing what is going on in our country, what's happening in our lives right now, and what's coming in the future. So we got all these things coming. What else? The youth group fundraiser Friday night, this last week on Friday night, was a huge success. We actually had a great turnout for that, and just want to thank you for all the people that did turn out and that were able to give and support that group. They now have funds to be able to take some extra activities and to do some things they never would have been able to do before. So I really, really appreciate that. That is something that it just means so much to know that the people are feeling that as an opportunity to not just go into fellowship, but also go and watch a great movie, watch Woodlawn. If you've never seen it, if you didn't get to make it, I challenge you to watch that movie. It's a good one and has great reminders in it about our walk of faith and what it means, how to treat people, and just a lot of the things that Christ would have us to learn and grow through it. But it has the gospel message in it, and you get to see that as well. But it's just a powerful, powerful movie. I encourage you to watch that. But again, thanks to all those that came out and supported it and just made it a big success. We plan to do those again in the future. The youth group has done these several times, and I'm sure they'll do more in the future with some other good movies too. So, what else? As far as tithes and offerings, normally we would do a tithe and offering at this point in the church. Obviously, it's hard for you to give over the phone, other than being able to give through Tithely. The Tithely app is readily available on the Play Store and other places where you can download that to your phone. It'll ask you to search for a church near you that uses Tithely, and I believe we're the only one in our county right now that's using that, so it'll pull up the Oasis Church of Rollins, and you just tap on that, put in a little bit of info, and then within, you know, 2 minutes, I think you can have enough info in there to be able to give online. So that's one way you can do it. Our website, theoasischurchofrollins.com, also has an opportunity for a giving link in there that'll take you straight to either the Tithely app or a way to be able to give through Tithely. So appreciate that. Just if you can't do that or you're not into the online stuff, we'll be getting together again on Wednesday night and again on Sunday, and just use those opportunities. We encourage you. I looked up just a definition of what generosity meant, because a part of today's message is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit has to do with goodness. And when you dig into that a little bit, it was referring a lot to generosity. And just a plain old dictionary on generosity says, it is the quality of being kind and generous. And that kind and generous is what kind of stands out, that it has more to do with feeling that sense of wanting to give because of the kindness that's involved in it. And I don't know, it kind of sounds like a TV preacher to say this, but we can't do what we do without your support and without having people that support the ministry. And I don't have four jets and three, you know, Cadillacs and all that stuff. We just don't do that. We're very limited in what we even get from the church as a ministry. But it goes further than that because it reaches more people. Just what we're doing right now, being able to get the word out, having the equipment and things to do that, and being able to reach. I have, you know, God has laid some goals on my heart for where we're going as a church. In order to get there, we're going to need the finances and support to be able to do that. Not just the money, but it includes the people coming on board and supporting, and people that have knowledge that I don't have, because there's things that I don't know how to do about a building project or some of the things that need to take place. So as we continue to grow, all that kind of support is needed. So grateful for that. Just give you the opportunity and reminder that you know, we are listener supported, so any way that you can help us is much appreciated. With that, let's see where else we're at. I think we can get into today's message, and I have a message today that is kind of a follow-up to the past couple of weeks. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about Him as the third part of the Trinity, you know, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so today we're going to dig a little bit deeper. I want to get into, we started with, you know, who is the Holy Spirit? Then we've talked a couple of weeks on what the Holy Spirit does in our life, for us, kind of in and through us. And then today we're going to get a little bit deeper in. We're going to look at some of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And next week we'll get a little further in than that yet. So I encourage you. But let's start with some prayer this morning. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. I praise you and thank you. Thank you for what you've done, Father, so far in each of our individual lives. And bringing us to the point where we're here, we're listening, we're tuning in, or reading our Bibles. We're focused on you with our faith. And Father, as we do this morning, as we press into you and your word, I pray that it becomes alive, that your word just stands out in certain areas that we're like, wow, God is really speaking to me about this, that we can get that understanding from you directly. And Lord, I pray that you use my voice, use my words, and the things that you've given me to share this morning, that it will impact lives and encourage that growth and the faith and the maturity and in the Christian walk, Father, for each and every person that hears. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for the extra moisture we're getting for the green grass, the things you're doing right now in our community. And Father, just taking us further as a body, as the body of Christ, a portion of it here in Rollins, Wyoming, that you're taking us further than ever before and causing your faith, your light to shine right through us, Lord. We're praising you for these things. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So let's get into the Word of God for today. I think it's something that'll be encouraging, but it's going to challenge you, because it's going to give you some examples of things that the Holy Spirit does in your life, but it's really going to help you to be able to understand who He is and what He's doing and what the fruit of the Spirit is. And that's what I named today. You know, we've been learning about the third part of the Trinity, the third part of the Godhead, some would call it the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we've reminded ourselves over the last couple of weeks of how He is the one that seals us to God. The Bible says, literally, you are sealed by the Holy Ghost unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is continuously speaking to us. Okay, He is leading us and guiding us into the fullness of God, so that we're able to complete and obtain and reach and touch and experience all the things of God. He is a spirit, though, which means that He is like a breath or like the wind. Okay, which means that although we may not be able to physically see Him, we're going to still be able to know that He's here. We're going to know that He is alive and well and at work in our lives. We're going to know because we will be able to see the results of what the Holy Spirit does. Jesus described the Holy Spirit to be sort of like the wind. Okay, we're pretty accustomed to that today. It's really windy outside. Okay, but Jesus explained to a guy named Nicodemus that even though you don't know exactly where the wind comes from, or where it goes, that yet you can still see its effect. You can still see that it is doing something. You can recognize the wind by the rustling of the leaves in the fall, or the bending of the trees on just a regular breezy day. Okay, you can recognize, like today, the swirling of the snow. You see that happen. You see the snow go by, and you automatically know that the wind is at work doing something. Okay, when in our part of the country, when the wind changes and comes out of a different direction, you'll actually feel the temperature change. It'll rise when it comes from the south. It'll drop when it comes from the north. And you can tell, we knew this storm was coming because the wind switched. And all of a sudden, that breeze started coming in. It was no longer a little bit spring warm. It became kind of that bitter cold stuff. And we could tell that there was a system coming in. Now, you can literally feel the wind. Okay, feel it, experience it tactfully, you know, tangibly in your life. When you know that the wind is blowing and you go outside, you can feel that wind pressing against your face. You notice that it swirls your hair around a little bit. You know that the wind is touching you. Or on really windy days, you can go out and guess what? You'll be leaning into the wind to try to walk against it, or going the other way. I had to carry something the other day. I don't know, it was a cardboard box or something. It was really windy, and it was like carrying a sail. It was trying to pull me along in the direction of the wind, so I could feel the wind. Well, the Spirit of God is very real, and He is very much at work in your life every single day. So learning to recognize the signs of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, is going to help you to utilize the gifts that God has for you. It's going to help you to recognize when, whoa, the Holy Spirit is pushing me in a direction or leading you in a direction. The Holy Spirit is blowing against you, rustling your hair, kind of stirring things up a little bit. You'll be able to recognize that more when you understand the fruit of the Spirit. Just like a healthy living tree is going to produce good fruit, okay? The living presence of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life leads to things like Christ-like values and characteristics. It leads to the fruit of the Spirit being produced through your life. Okay, so what does the fruit look like? When the Holy Spirit is generating His fruit, producing something through your life, what does it look like? Okay, bear it with me, because I'm going to read a couple of different scriptures and show you how the disciples described what was given to them by God. Okay, let's start with Matthew chapter 7, and we'll read Matthew 7, 7. I go a little bit slower because I know I don't have the verses on the screen this morning. So some of you that have grown accustomed to that custom are having to look it up in your Bibles. But in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 7, it's Jesus talking, and He says this. He says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, and that means being apart from God, evil. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Okay, when Luke was writing this exact same passage and describing what Jesus said, he worded that last verse like this in Luke 11:13. He said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Okay, so Matthew says that the Father will give you good things. Luke says that the Father will give you the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that sums up nicely what the Holy Spirit brings into your life. Okay, it is good things. Okay, God is, when the Holy Spirit is active in your life, you will experience better things. You will see good things happening. And that means that you should want as much of the manifestation, okay, the outward expression of the Holy Spirit in your life as possible. Okay, he gets so neglected at times. We worship God, we thank Jesus, he's in our heart, but we neglect the power and the moving, the actual tangible stuff that the Holy Spirit is doing right now. Okay, we want to see that more and more in our life so that we can experience the fullness of what it is to be a believer and to live here on earth with the Holy Spirit as our lead and guide. God actually expects people to bear spiritual fruit. Okay, if you remember the parable that Jesus told about the sower and the seed, right? He said that seed that fell on the good ground, the end result would be that the believer would bring forth fruit. Okay, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. The expectation was that you would not bring forth zero fruit. Okay, the expectation is you're going to bring forth some a little more than others, that's fine, but the idea is that you will be producing fruit. Jesus told us that it is by the fruits of people that you're going to recognize kind of where they stand. You're going to know what is going on in their life by the fruits that are coming through their life. In Matthew, we're already in chapter 7, go to verse 12. Jesus talks about the golden rule here, but then he talks about how you can recognize when people are walking according to the golden rule versus those that are not. In Matthew 7:12, it says, therefore, all things whatsoever that you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the golden rule. He says, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Then he says, beware of the false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. In verse 16 he says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And verse 20 says again, wherefore by their fruit you shall know them. Okay, fruit is a term that is used in this passage to describe the produce or the outcome of a person's life. Okay, what is coming through you? What product are you giving away? If you think about a fruit tree, okay, what is produced by that fruit tree is generally something that is good for those around it, okay, good for others. But it can, a tree can, and see if you can get this, a tree can also yield something that is beneficial for itself. Okay, an apple tree, for example, is going to produce fruit. Okay, it's going to grow and the apples are going to start hanging. And if it's left alone, it will eventually drop those apples onto the ground. And the seeds that are in those apples, some of them will eventually get into the ground and grow up to become a new apple tree. Okay, so the tree can produce something that is beneficial for its own legacy. You see that? It produces something that will continue on after it is gone. It eventually is going to grow old and die. Okay, but during its life, it produced fruit containing seeds which yielded offspring to carry on into the next generation. Okay, that's where God said in the very beginning that each seed would produce after its own kind. That was God's intention. So you, with the fruit of your life, are producing something for your legacy, for the next generation, for the future, for after when you're gone. So that puts a bigger perspective on what's the purpose of my life. You have purpose. God is using you right now to plant seeds that are going to be here after you're gone. You're doing something pretty special. Most of the fruit of, say it's an apple tree, okay, most of the fruit, like that tree that might be in an apple orchard, is going to be plucked. Okay, it is going to be gathered, and others are going to be provided some benefit from that apple. Okay, well, your life right now is producing something that is going to be gleaned by others. Okay, the production of fruit in your life is a natural occurrence. It's going to happen all the time. Remember, Jesus even said that the evil tree would produce evil fruit. Okay, but a good tree produces good fruit. So you're producing fruit. It's just a matter of what is being plucked and whether it's good for the people around you, beneficial for the future or not. Okay, the production of fruit is a natural occurrence in your life. It takes place every day. So when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, it is something that is going to be emanating through your life to affect the people around you, but also to set up things for the future. We read about it, if you want to flip open to Galatians chapter 5, we read about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, and it's where the Apostle Paul is contrasting the works of your flesh with the much more desired work or the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such things as there is no law. You know, I think it's important to point out the context of why Paul, or what he is writing about when he wrote about the fruit of the Spirit. See, Paul is emphasizing this. If you remember the letter to the Galatians, they had kind of gotten off a little bit, started going back under the law. And so Paul comes in and he is emphasizing Christian liberty. Okay, he is talking about our freedom that we have from the dominating control of sin. Okay, and that condemnation that goes along with that sin. Okay, he is emphasizing the fact that the keeping of the law, the Ten Commandments, the 800 or so other kind of legal requirements that are attached to them, is not the Christian's means of obtaining justification before God anymore. Okay, Paul was warning the Galatian Christians who were in danger of going back under the law. They were starting to engage in outward legalistic means of trying to be justified, okay? Circumcision and certain ritual things. They started going back under that. So Paul is writing to them. He cautions them not to go back under that law and get into the bondage of the law. Okay, and he gives great examples elsewhere in Scripture about the bondage and the free and those kind of things. I don't want to get into all that today, but just know that when Paul was cautioning the Galatians he was cautioning them not to overemphasize their freedom in Christ. Okay, so he's trying to find give them the balance that, yeah, don't go back under the law, but also don't take your freedom in Christ as a freedom to sin. Okay, don't take it as a liberty to go and live however you want and not pay any attention to God. He didn't want them to turn their liberty into a license to sin or an opportunity to gratify the desires of the flesh, okay? And that's where he's at when he writes this. The liberty that we have in Christ is to make us not free to sin, but it is a freedom to free us from the power of sin, okay, and from the weight and the condemnation, that continual condemnation of the law. So then we're free. When you're not bogged down by that weight of guilt and condemnation, then you're free to do the right things. You're free to live the life that God wanted for you. So Paul is contrasting living a life according to the flesh, okay, according to the works of your flesh, versus living life in the Spirit. Okay, when you live in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts or the desires of the flesh, period. Okay, when you're living according to the flesh, you will complete the works of the flesh. But when you live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts and the desires of the flesh. Okay, Paul is contrasting those two things. And then Paul identifies what the works of the flesh are and what the fruit of the Spirit is. A person who is abstaining or steering clear of the works of the flesh, and they're demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit, in that Christian's life will be things like love. Okay? They will be more loving. They will be joyful. They will be peaceful. They'll be patient. They'll be kind. They'll be good. They'll be dependable. They'll be gentle. And they'll be self-controlled. Okay, these are not said to be gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that more next week, what some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are. But these are, they're more like, I call them graces or just qualities that will emanate from a life of a person who is under the control of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now, the Holy Spirit isn't going to make you a robot. Okay, he's not going to literally steer you clear, okay, of to go one way or the other. But when you're continuously in communication with the Holy Spirit, you're talking to him throughout your day, he will most certainly control your behavior. Okay, think about it like this. If you're out on a road trip with one of your best friends, and you're trying to decide on a hotel to stay in, and you say to your friend, you say, how about we stay at the Holiday Inn tonight? And your friend pipes up and says, oh, no, their beds are horrible. It's really almost impossible to get a good night's sleep at a Holiday Inn. Okay, so you decide to stay in a different hotel. Okay, then later that day, you decide to go out to eat, and you say to your friend, how about we go to Applebee's for supper tonight? And your friend turns to you, and they say, well, they really have a much better menu selection at Chili's, and it's really not much further down the road. How about we go there? Okay, now your friend did not control your life. You could have still slept in a Holiday Inn and eaten at Applebee's, but they influenced you not to stay at a Holiday Inn, and they influenced you to eat at Chili's. Does that make sense? Your friend did not control your life, but they provided something of great value, some information that maybe you hadn't thought of that altered the course of your day. Okay, that's how the Holy Spirit works. Okay, he's a gentleman. He is not going to force you to do one thing or another. But when you ask him, he is going to provide you with some pertinent information, okay, something that is going to help you to make good choices. Okay, remember, what does the Holy Spirit bring into your life? Good things. Okay, Holy Spirit, good things. So if we acknowledge him, he is going to make life better. We are going to get a better night's sleep and going to have more choices off of a better menu. Okay, those are pretty simple examples. But you understand what I'm saying. When we're seeking him and getting that info, connecting with Holy all the time, talking to Holy Spirit, he is going to be imparting unto us what we need to make a decision that will help us live the best life possible. Okay, if you notice that when Paul describes the fruit of the Spirit, okay, that word fruit is singular. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, that implies, since it's singular, it implies that these are qualities that are mutually dependent aspects of Christian living. And that's kind of a big way to say all of these things work together to make up what the Christian should look like. Okay, all of them together are the summation of here's Christian life. Okay, they're things that are not only expected, like, you know, joy or peace is something to strive for. Okay, it's not expected as something to strive for. They are literally a byproduct of your faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, the Holy Spirit was given to you by Jesus to empower you, to help you, to do all these things. And that fruit of the Spirit is part of your life. Okay, the fruit is the evidence that you can expect from a life which is in the Spirit of God and is living, allowing the Holy Spirit not just to live in you, but allowing Him to rule and to reign. That fruit will be evidence. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 1, He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, so that it may bring forth more fruit. Okay, that word purgeth, okay, it's a King James word, but in the Greek it means to clear away the unnecessary. Okay, it is a term that means to purge, means to cleanse or to clean up, to clean out. Okay, in other words, God will purge out things from your life that are not of Him. Okay, if we allow the Holy Spirit to do that, the things that are holding you back, okay, the things that are causing you grief, okay, the things that are kind of an unnecessary distraction in your walk with God are going to be removed by God if you let the Holy Spirit play a dominant role in your life. Okay, think about it like this. We wonder sometimes why things happen to us. Why am I going through this? Why do things happen because of me? You know, kind of that self, you know, what's the matter? What's wrong with me? Why is all these things happening? Well, one of the fruits of the Spirit is long-suffering, okay? AKA also known as patience, okay? Another one of the fruits is peace. Another one of the fruits is love. Obviously, it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Okay, well, all of these things are at work, so we can't just want more love in our life without wanting more long-suffering in our life. It's all part of the package that we got with the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. Paul explains this to us in Romans chapter 5, starting in the first verse of chapter 5. We'll read 5 verses. Paul says this. He says, therefore, being justified by faith. Okay, there's faith. It's one of the fruits, right? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace, another one of the fruits, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but get this, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh or bringeth forth patience, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit, and patience brings forth experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love, and one of the fruits of the Spirit, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which was given unto us. Okay, it's the Holy Spirit. This is part of what He brings into your life. You can see how all these things, the faith and hope and love and all these things are working together to make up the whole of the Christian life. Patience is also included in that. Okay, patience, hope, and love are all formed out of tribulation. Okay, I don't like this any more than you guys do, but I understand that when we go through stuff, that there's a purpose to it, that we can learn from it. Okay, that means that the occasional trial that you go through in your life is not something to be ashamed of. Okay, it means that the master gardener sees something special in you, and he is pruning or purging something out of your life so that you can produce more fruit, like Jesus said. James said it this way, the brother of our Lord, in James chapter 1, starting in verse 2, he said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, so that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Okay, that word perfect means mature or maturing. Okay, we know that God is working out all things together for your good. We know that God is on your side. So it's important to realize that everything in your life, the good, the bad, and everything in between, is all working together to make the most out of your life. Okay, if you go through a trial because of something that maybe you could have made a better choice about and avoided it altogether. Okay, you're going through a trial from that. Learn from that. Grow from it. Don't let it, you know, do your best not to let it happen again. If you're going through a trial because of something that just happened in your life, like you're on your way to work, you have a flat tire on your car. Okay, that's a trial. It's something you're going to have to deal with and go through. If you're in the middle of going through something like that, God is going to work that out for your good. Who knows what car crash you got avoided because of that flat tire? Or who knows now who you will run into because you're a half hour, an hour later than you were before? Okay, God will work something good from that. If you're going through a trial because of a persecution for your faith, okay, just praise God for it and hope it happens again real soon. Right? Because the trial of those kind of persecution and the tribulations and trials we go through because of it, that just shows that we're living our life as a believer and that God's at work in our life. All they that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, the Bible says. Okay, if you go through something that is difficult, okay, it is not something to be ashamed of, but it means that there's something special about you that God is trying to bring to the surface. And so some of those other things are getting put out of the picture. God is simply allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life to purge or to remove the unnecessary stuff so that you can now bear more fruit. Okay, if you pay attention to the language of the fruits of the Spirit, the love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, you're going to see those terms all throughout the New Testament. They're just woven right into it because that's part of the Christian experience. Love, for example, it's an outgoing, self-giving kind of action. That's what's referred to as one of the fruit of the Spirit. It is more than just an emotion. Love involves some intentional effort along with it. The best example I can think of is that God himself loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten son to save us. Okay, another great example would be the friends that lowered their friend down through the roof of the building where Jesus was so their friend could be healed. They loved their friend enough to put that love into action and literally drop them down in front of Jesus. Goodness in the fruit of the Spirit is in that King James is called goodness. In the translation of that Greek word, it includes the idea of generosity. Okay, that's where I said earlier, I looked up what is generosity? What does that describe? It's describing the something that feels good in giving. Okay, that's that generous spirit, that goodness that comes through you. It's not something that's just about you. You know, you're not good in a percent in a sense of, you know, you're just a good person, but goodness is actually something that you do. It's something that you engage in. Okay, I was listening to a Christian radio station the other day, and it's up in the Northwest somewhere in the Seattle area. And the DJ that was on there said that she had something that happened at the church the previous Sunday that really made an impact on her. Okay, there was a young lady that came into their fellowship that was new to the fellowship. She hadn't been there very much. And she was having a difficult time emotionally. She was struggling. And I don't know if it was coronavirus. She didn't really explain what all it was. But there was just some pressures and things she was having to deal with. And so she shared it with some of her new church members. Well, they did exactly what good Christians do. They gathered around her, they laid hands on her, and they prayed for her to have peace and to have all these fruits of the Spirit kind of coming through her. But what was really touching was that as that young lady left for the day, the service was over and she began to go home, that one of the church people caught up to her in the parking lot. And the DJ that was explaining this said she overheard them exchanging phone numbers and setting up a time to meet later in the week so they could check in on her and find out how she was doing. Okay, now this wasn't just like two besties getting together to have their kids have a play date. That stuff is awesome. It happens all the time. This was a complete stranger allowing the fruit of the Holy Spirit to emanate through her. Okay, it was love and goodness and all those things in action. It was put into an experience that touched another life. The fruit of that Christian's life was now touching another life. It was producing something very beneficial. You know, the DJ said that that scene ministered to her so much because Christians are pretty famous for saying, I'll pray for you. You know, oh, have a good week. I'll pray for you. But then they go away and they never think twice about it. Okay, this person that caught up to that girl in the parking lot and said, hey, I want your phone number. I'm going to come over and see you this week. She didn't just have good intentions. She actually had actions that backed up what she was saying. It was an action to the fruit of the Spirit. It was all applied at that moment. You know, the fruit of the Spirit of faith is usually something that refers to trust or confidence in someone or something. However, the word also implies that which causes trust and faith. Okay, namely faithfulness and reliability. Okay, faith and trust, faithfulness and reliability. Because reliability is something that you can see. Either they showed up or they didn't. Okay, either they follow through with what they said or they don't. Okay, a spirit-controlled life is one that gives in to the promptings of the Holy Spirit to do the right thing. When the Spirit says, I said that I would, I need to follow through. The Spirit is the one that prompts you to follow through on your word. Okay, the Spirit is trying to help you to be reliable, to be faithful. When you know that you should do something, okay, the fruit of faithfulness is what will be evidenced when you actually do it. Okay, another fruit that is translated temperance by the King James Version is a Greek word for self-control. Okay, now it is that ability to hold yourself back, okay, or to keep yourself in check, kind of to refrain, to restrain yourself. It's interesting to me that the Holy Spirit is said to be the one responsible for this fruit, right? I mean, when you hear the term self-control, you tend to think, well, it's entirely up to you, right? I have to control myself, not the Holy Spirit. He ain't going to do nothing. However, here's how it works. Your part is going to be to yield to the Spirit because you are going to want to whatever. You're going to want to spout off a bunch of negative criticism. You're going to want to let a bunch of negative thoughts come out of your mouth. But the Spirit does not. So your part, the fruit of the Spirit then becomes evident when you go with what the Spirit wants to do instead of what you want to do. Do you see how the Holy Spirit's fruit of temperance or self-control works in our life? Because I am now yielding to what is a better way? Because I'm yielding to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He wants me to be temperate. He is temperate. He is self-controlled. Therefore, when I listen to that prompting, I will not do what I don't want to do, okay, or what may be harmful. You know, the Spirit will even at times, I call it circumstantially help you, okay, to be successful in yielding to Him. He wants you to live that life that God wants you to live. So you might be on your way out the door. You're going to go over to somebody's house. You're going to confront them about some stunt that they pulled they shouldn't have done. And just then, you're on your way out the door grabbing your keys and your phone rings and it's your boss saying, hey, can you come into work a few minutes early? And now you don't get to go over and do that. Okay, the Holy Spirit can work things, you might be tempted by a weakness in your life. Okay? If you recall, though, the Holy Spirit is actively interceding with God on your behalf because of your weaknesses, specifically naming them before God, saying, God, we need to help this guy, we need to help this girl with this, because she's struggling in that area. The same God that can move a mountain, the same God that can part a Red Sea, the same God that can turn water into wine, or that can heal a leper, or that can cause money to be in a fish's mouth, okay, that same God will do things and cause the Spirit to actively sway things on your behalf just to help you refrain from giving in to something. The Holy Spirit will help you with self-control. Okay, and then as you practice listening to the Holy Spirit, taking those promptings, stopping when He says stop, going when He says go, the Spirit is going to allow you to make more and more decisions on your own. And guess what? Some of the time, you're going to make the wrong choice. You're not going to listen to those promptings. Your Spirit's going to say, you kind of work through this one a little bit, I'll guide you. And you make the wrong choice and you do something you shouldn't have. Our minds, okay, what happens in that situation, you are going to learn from it. Because you're wanting to grow in faith and wanting to grow and allow the fruit to be produced through your life. So you're going to grow in maturity as a believer because of that mistake. It may have caused a little tribulation, trial kind of thing, but the fruit of the Spirit is still at work because you're going to be working, all those things are working together to help you to grow. Our dependence on the Holy Spirit is going to never be diminished. We will never not need Him. We will never not listen or need to listen to His promptings. But what happens as we walk with Him and we begin to mature, our core values start to line up more with God's. We begin to understand that God doesn't like such and such, or God wants this to happen. Okay, our characteristics, the qualities of our life are going to be developed over time to begin to line up a little bit more and more with God's ways. We become more Christ-like. Christ was perfect. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, God said. We choose to be like that. So we're on our way. Our minds are being renewed by the Word of God, or we're learning to effectively bring our bodies under subjection where we don't give in to the lust of the flesh anymore, because we're connected with the Spirit to such a point that those things begin to lose their appeal. Okay, and the ways of God and the ways of the Spirit become more and more prominent, more dominant in our actions. If you remember, the Holy Spirit and goodness, those words were used interchangeably by the early disciples. Okay, the more that you allow the fruit of the Holy Spirit to be produced through your life, the better life will get. Okay, the more you allow joy and love and peace and patience and kindness, benevolence, that giving, that generosity, reliability, humility, self-control. The more you allow these things to flow through your life, the more satisfying and the more productive your life will be. Okay, devout Christians who walk in the Spirit do not have cheesy grins on their face and that twinkle in their eye for no reason. Okay, they have that because they can't help it. They are allowing the Spirit of God to engage in the work of God through their life, and it's joyful. It's enjoyable. It is something that they actively know that the Spirit is doing something through my life, and it creates a sense of cheesy grinness, right? It creates that twinkle in your eye that you have everywhere you go. There's something unique about you. There's something different about you. Because the Spirit is at work. That's where that maturity in Christ comes, as we're leaning that direction, allowing Him to live and breathe. And so you see that twinkle and that stuff happen more often. You know, next Sunday, we're going to talk more about the hows. Okay, I want to explain how the Holy Spirit speaks to you and how He can speak through you. Okay, I'll give you a hint. It's going to involve the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some of them are revelatory. God reveals things to us. Some of them are oral, or where we are used to speak, and it's a gift of the Spirit. Okay, so we're going to take a closer look at some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit next week. But for now, you got to know the fruit of the Holy Spirit is being produced in your life, And the more that we yield to Him, the more we're going to see it happen. Hey, let's get that twinkle. Let's get the cheesy grins going, because we know that we're allowing Him to do what He wants to do in our life. It's a good place to be. The Holy Spirit and good things are together. That's what it is. Let's pray about this. Father, we are praising You in the name of Jesus. Father, we're thanking You for Your word. We're thanking You for giving us a description of the fruit of the Spirit, giving us a description that is contrasted with the works of the flesh, so that we can see the difference, so that we know when we've stepped into the wrong side or produced something through our life that was not from You. Lord, I pray that You help us with this area of patience and knowing that going through the tribulations, things that we do every day, things that we, not all the time in a constant trial, but Lord, I know that some of those trials we go through are just Your way of helping us to purge or to get out things that are not of You. I pray that we yield to You. I pray that we listen in our spirit to Your spirit, that we connect in that way, that we know the things that we ought to do and that we're yielded enough to do them. Lord, that You let temperance and perseverance and self-control and all these things that are stirring inside of us to come to the surface and to be our life, that the love and the joy and the goodness, the kindness, the giving, all these things is things that are inside of us that we begin to let flow more and more and more. And God, I pray for a supernatural satisfaction. I pray for something that stirs in our hearts and our minds that says, I like this. I like what the Holy Spirit is up to, and I'm going to continue going in that direction, letting You lead, letting You be my guide, constantly asking You, where do You want to go? Where do You want to eat today? What do You want to do, Lord? And letting You lead and guide us. Have Your way, Lord. Take us further into this week. Thanks for getting us through this storm that we got going on right now, Lord, and helping us to thrive on the other side. Father, we're praising You. We thank You for it. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You. Amen and amen.